Welcome to Oh My Stars,
a music astrology podcast.
And we're here to draw connections between astrology and the music people love.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Stefan.
And today we're welcoming Tanner Connolly of Words Like Earth and Her Honor.
Heriner.
But yeah.
Welcome, Tanner.
Yeah. No. Heriner. Her Honor. Okay. Her Honor. I was actually going to ask you that. I've never actually said it out loud.
It's cool.
I've
read it above, it's just like the bird with an ER, pretty much. That's the... Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Nice. Are you still doing anything with Words Like Earth, or is it now just Heriner is the main focus?
Words Like Earth, like I don't know. It was a really fun project, and I was pretty stoked on it. But one day I was just like, this isn't doing it for me anymore. I'm going to change it up. So yeah, I stopped. I don't even remember the year I stopped. Yeah, I just kind of switched over to new stuff. 2017.
Nice. Well, I love this new sound is working for you. I think it's really cool.
Yep.
And like, not what I was expecting you to do next, but I think it's like, it still works. Like, especially with you still like incorporate like the acoustic guitar with the electronic stuff.
And I think that's cool. Like there has to be at least some live sound or else.
Yeah.
For me to be happy with it, but yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. Have you like performed at all like these songs like in front of people?
I have once. So I took an exorbitant amount of time to write them just to like I wanted to kind of dial everything how I wanted, and then I got offered like a show. I played the Ventura Stop of Warped Tour just on like one of the stages randomly. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
And that was super fun. And, you know, planning to play out a lot more than that. And then the music stuff just kind of started to wind down and I moved to Montana and, you know, focused on other stuff. But now it's starting to ramp up again and hopefully we'll be playing out a lot more. So.
Yeah. That's awesome. And when you are performing, is it just you, or do you have like other people like on drums or on any like quote unquote
right.
real
instruments? Right now it's just me. It's just me and my laptop and a bunch of funny electronic sounds that should sound like someone's there playing with me, but they're not.
Yeah. Are you able to like see much music like out in Montana?
Places are starting to like pick up again, but when I was not this past winter, but the winter of like 2019 into 2020, I was living in Missoula, and Missoula has like a really phenomenal music scene. Like there's so many acts that stop through there, and they have Logjam Presents, which is this company that books a bunch of shows for like three of the venues in Missoula, one of them being the Kettle House Amphitheater, and like amazing acts go through there. Like I saw Bon Iver there on August of 2019, and like Sheryl Crow has played there a bunch, and yeah.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
and nice. Then there's like a few like smaller venues that the Top Hat, which is the same, booked by the same company that has a ton of cool acts come through. Yeah. It's a really kind of sleeper hit of a music scene. I think it's pretty rad. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And like, how long have you been out there?
2 years. Yeah.
Cool. Oh, do you like it?
I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's the best.
Yeah. And for Amy and listeners, you like, I don't know your title technically, or is it park ranger?
Yeah.
It,
technically I'm backcountry permits and aquatic invasive species, but yeah, it's
whoa. No, I love that. That's awesome. That sounds so official. I mean, it is, but
yeah, during the summers I work in Glacier National Park and write backcountry permits for people and go out and do patrols and see if they're on permit, and all the incoming watercraft that want to launch, they have to be inspected for invasive species. So I do that too. So it's the best job ever. I love it. I mean, unless that's music awesome. Takes off, then that'll be the best job ever.
Sure.
Does your experience as working in a Glacier National Park influence your music
definitely,
at all?
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like I was trying to pinpoint like where the inspiration comes from, and I think it's just like an indirect inspiration of like just living there. It's just such a amazingly powerful place and incredibly beautiful. And I feel like it can't not influence my like writing process. But yeah, it's just, it's so beautiful. And I also don't have like cell service or internet there, so my mind can just kind of go do its thing. Which,
yeah,
that sounds wonderful. Yeah. Actually,
yeah, I'm jealous of that. It's so nice. Yeah.
Nice. Do you ever like sample or have you thought about like taking sounds from nature and like sampling?
Yeah, I haven't done that. There actually might be one thing on my EP that I took as a voice memo and put it as a sample, but this upcoming stuff there, I will give you a sneak peek, I guess, is that there's a Swainson's thrush sample, which is like,
okay.
And they're a bird that kind of nests by the housing area in Many Glacier, the part of the park I'm in. And, I like fall asleep to that every night. Cause they're the sun in, Montana stays up like pretty late. Like it doesn't go down till near close to 10 in, the summer. And so it'll still be light out and they're still chirping away, but it's, you know, 9:45 and yeah, kind of fall asleep to that. But that is the first like definite thing I can say that, yeah, that'll be in there. And, I want to do that more, but I don't want to, I feel like it's almost hard to do that without being a little too on the nose, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
But I want to try and do that more and also sneak some stuff in with that. Like just kind of like really mm-hmm. manipulate mm-hmm. the samples and then be like, can go back later and be like, this is actually, you know, I don't know, a bison.
Right. No. I can almost like kind of picture that in my head. Like, I guess that's kind of like what he's been like Justin Vernon's been doing that more with like Bon Iver stuff. Yeah. I feel like, or just even just finding like random like field recordings of just like, I don't know, like gravel and then like manipulating that and like making it like,
there's like a whole world out there that hasn't been explored sonically, I feel like. So we'll see. I'm going to try and, there might be another song that I'm adding to the EP, so I might try and do more with that. So it's funny you ask, because that has been right at the top of my
that'll be cool.
mind.
Nice. Before we get into like the musicians like you dropped today, I'd like to ask our guests, is there any like music just in your free time you've been, you know, into, new, old, could be anything?
Oh man, dude, I'm one of those, I'm like really one of those music listeners that just attaches to things and I like just will absolutely wear it out before I move on to something else. I have to look at like my phone right now to even remember what I've been. Oh, do you know Flock of Dimes? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been like very much into that new album of hers.
The new one. She's amazing. Yeah. I actually mentioned it on the show a couple weeks ago or like whenever it came out.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that was a couple weeks ago. Yeah,
that's been on repeat a lot. Yeah, just a ton of... Earl Sweatshirt is like, honestly, I was going to pick him also as one of my... There are two... That's a really hard question you guys ask. You know that, right? Three? I feel like I could just list so many people.
Honestly, I feel like why we made it more three is... because people had trouble with like one.
Yeah.
Like at first we were going to ask just people to do 2-1 and that's impossible basically. Right, or not impossible, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I almost went with Earl.
How about you?
I am just looking to see what here recently. This producer that I really like, her name's Jada G. She's just got a cool sound. She's a marine biologist.
Ooh.
So I guess that, I guess connects a little bit with, you know, having nature influencing your music. But on her first full length, she had like orca whales sampled in her music, and she's been like putting out singles, maybe in anticipation of another album.
Amazing.
But I really like her. Yeah.
I'll have to check. What is it? Jada G.
Jada G.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to check her out. That's cool.
That does sound really cool. I want to... have you sent that to me before, maybe?
I may have.
Sounds familiar. But I just went back and looked. It's The Alchemist that Earl
That's
is going to be
on.
Yeah,
I knew it started with an A, but I just didn't want to be like, I think it starts with an A. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like artists in the last year, anyone that's like made music has kind of, no, well, not anyone, but a lot of people I've seen are now like, we're going to release an album in the next 2 months. I feel like people were like sitting on stuff they knew like once things improve with the pandemic, then people would be more open to like, you know, consuming things, I guess.
Because I feel like at the start of it, there was just this like huge influx of stuff. They're like, oh, it's everybody's quarantined. Like, let's release a bunch of stuff. And then I feel like a lot of artists were like, all right, I don't want to just drown in the major amount of releases that are coming out during quarantine. They're just sitting on a bunch of crap. Not crap, music.
Yeah, right.
Love music.
Yes. It's a great thing in life.
I've just been, I usually am like an album person.
Yeah.
Like I'll find an album, I just listen to it until I can't anymore.
Right,
but
yeah.
I've been doing more like just, a lot of people have been releasing singles that I'm just excited about, like upcoming releases, like Faye Webster. I don't know if you guys like her.
I saw, wait, didn't she have?
Do you know her?
I don't. No.
I know my friend said that she's playing in New York.
Oh, really?
On the same day as Soccer Mommy or something, and was like,
ooh,
there's a conflict.
Yeah, wow. I think you would dig her. She's like kind of like, I don't love this genre term, but like alt country, I guess. Like,
okay.
But like with like indie and even kind of like R&B like frills thrown in the mix. But a lot of like guitar. And like,
love me some slide guitar.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Right.
So yeah, was really into that. I did mention this already today on another episode we did, but I'm gonna say it again because I fucking love this band, Hiatus Coyote.
Oh man, I love them.
They're gearing up for a new album. That's gonna be incredible.
They're so talented. That's like one of the type of bands that like you hear their music, and if you're a musician, you're like, I need to quit music because it's already done.
What's the point?
They did it.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. Like you're just like, okay, I'll see myself out.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, oh man, yeah. I listen to their albums and I'm like, wow, that is just stupid amount of talent.
Yeah, and then I guess the other thing I'll just mention too is he Shaky Graves re-released his first album, and I think it was like the 10-year anniversary of it. And
oh, cool.
I don't think I had really paid much mind to that first one. So just now it's almost like discovering it for the first time for me. And I really love it.
Yeah. He's also someone who has a lot of talent. He is really cool. I remember I saw Shaky Graves in Portland, Maine in 2017. I don't know, somewhere around there. And he played the State Theater, and I just like went by myself because I couldn't find anyone to go with. And it was like the greatest show ever. It was so amazing. And then I went and like, you know, lurked around the back of the theater to like wait for him to come out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he is just the nicest human, like such a wholesome, funny man. Like he, like this.
I'm glad to hear that.
This other person waited, and he had a tattoo of Texas with Boba Fett in the middle
of
it.
Sure.
And
Tatooine, you know, aka Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he was like, oh look, like I got this. And Shaggy, or I don't even remember his actual
name.
Yeah,
I don't know his real name.
Embarrassing. But he just kind of looked at it. He was like, oh sweet, the Boba Texas. Like it was just super normal. Like that, like everyone has those type of tattoos. It was hilarious.
Yeah, right on, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh nice, the Boba Texas.
I'm glad to hear that, because there's nothing worse when you meet your heroes and they let you down. So
yeah, no, he was super nice.
Awesome. I saw him a couple years ago. It might've been that same tour, but in New York. And, I was just like blown away by, I already liked him at that point, but like his just live show was so good. He was like,
dude, it's so much better than his record. Well, I shouldn't say that, in my opinion.
No, it was one of the cases where after I left that show, I was like, I like him even more now. Like I respect him like a lot.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of his songs you just have to see live and then you're like, oh
yeah,
now I get it.
Yeah. When you saw him in Portland, did he happen to have this, this like disco ball with him?
I don't think so.
Okay, it might have been specific,
or at least I don't
to
remember it if he did.
I saw him at Bowery Ballroom. I don't know if maybe that's just something they do there, but it was really funny because he was like I forget what song it was, but it was, it wouldn't usually fit what you wouldn't think a disco ball would go with it, but it like came down in the middle of it and we were all like, oh wow.
I love that. No, I don't think so. I mean, he might have. That might be something I totally forget.
I guess we can get into the meat of the episode.
Sweet.
Cool. Yeah. So I guess before we do the specific musicians, we can just kind of talk about your signs, and also I guess just what is astrology to you? There's no wrong answer here, because we've had an actual astrologer on. We've also had somebody that's like, I literally know nothing. So there's no wrong answers. So it's just like out of curiosity.
Well, I just remember. So when I was little, I remember like, you know, the astrology readings in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And like, I, you know, had that classic skepticism of like, these are just generalizations. Like, I don't know if this specifically applies to people. And then I, you know, as I got older, I just kind of forgot about it. And then now there's like this huge renaissance of astrology in the popular culture. And I don't know. I think it's cool. Like if people use it to like try and know more about themselves, then like A+ for me. I don't really, you know,
yeah.
But I have a very hard skepticism with astrology. I don't know.
It is. Yeah, to me that makes sense because you studied philosophy, right, in school?
I did.
So yeah, I mean that's all about questioning everything and being, you know, asking questions.
But
yeah,
it's funny though now because like, you know, I say that and I am, you know, very critical of people who just like put all of their fate in astrology and you know, I read some stuff now and I'm like, yeah, that's me. I can't deny that I read some stuff and I'm like, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing with us too, or like we've said this before, but like, I think I really just buy into it in terms of like a personality, like gauge and like that kind of stuff. I think with sometimes when it's like being used to like predict, you know, things, that's where it starts to lose me a little bit. But yeah, I think honestly, anything in modern society that can help people be just more introspective and just kind of check themselves.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I think I've also gotten to a point where now I'm like anything that I've had a huge critical view on, I'm just like, you know, life's so hard. Just do whatever you want. I don't care. Who am I to say like, oh no, astrology's stupid. Just like you're not hurting anybody.
Right. At all. Like
Yeah. I know. And there's so many issues that I'm like, why? Yeah, like it doesn't affect me, so do whatever you want to do. And then like it used to come to astrology and I was like, this is ridiculous. And I'm like, this is stupid. This is the same thing that I've said about a ton of different things. Like it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
You do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. Well, this is a perfect lead in. That's a very Libra way of looking at it.
Great.
You know, first of all, I guess, when you're like, oh, I'm a Libra, does that mean anything to you? Like, have you read, like...
a little bit. I feel like I don't remember it. I don't, like, commit it to memory. Yeah. And, like, there, you know, I know just the classic that, like, you know, Libra is about balance. And I don't remember anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the main thing. The symbol for it is like the scales. So it's like that balance and like being pretty like diplomatic sign and also known as like the devil's advocate sign as well.
Okay. That's interesting because I hate the devil's advocate.
Okay.
I don't hate it, but I feel like it's been weaponized now.
Yeah. Yeah. That no, especially in politics. Yeah.
I wish I knew more about it, I guess. Like I do know all of like the signs associated with it, like all of the names, so like but other than that, that's a pretty as deep as my understanding goes.
Okay.
Of a Libra.
Well, like some other stuff, like generally pretty like social signed to, back to the kind of like being diplomatic and being able to just kind of key in on things that you might have in common with other people to be able to, you know, kind of in some cases get them on your side and like manipulate them. That's like, if you don't like Libras and you're like, oh, they're kind of like manipulative, they can be like fake with that like balance thing of like, oh yeah, they're just saying that other side of the coin to like get onto, you know, people's good sides, right, kind of thing. But also, you know, each sign is ruled by a different planet. And so for Libra, it's ruled by Venus. So like, you know, attraction, hot, love, beauty, there's an appreciation for like just aesthetics and like visual beauty and like that kind of stuff. So I feel like being an artist, like that definitely fits with that whole thing.
Yeah. I like that.
And I didn't know that. And who were we talking about earlier that's a Libra that was a musician? Actually, we have this written down. I can just go back in.
Oh, it was Arca, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Do you know the producer Arca?
I do know Arca.
Yeah.
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a Libra too.
Sweet. I didn't know that about her. That's cool.
Yeah.
She's really really talented. I have to come up with better epithets for musicians. I feel like I always just use talented, and it's like, yeah.
Well, you know,
I
have to do better to that too. I feel like as I've been listening back to these episodes, I'm like, oh, I just say that's awesome like every time.
I'm so stuck on that's awesome or that's amazing. Like I'll look through text conversations and I'm like, don't I have a bigger vocabulary than this? This is kind of embarrassing.
Yeah. One other thing I'll just note too with Libra is that, you know, all of the signs are divided up into like element groups. And so Libra is part of the air sign family. Mm. I think for you, especially like being a singer, like, you know, the breath, the air, you know, that whole connection there seems like the stars say it so.
Maybe. I don't know. Might be a stretch.
Is that a stretch? Okay, that's fine.
I don't know.
Anything else about Libra?
No, but now that we're talking about elements, I guess because we know he's also a Leo moon and a Virgo?
Leo moon and Virgo rising.
Yeah.
So that means you've got, I just think it's interesting to have the diversity of like the air, the fire, and the earth in the three moon signs.
Yeah.
I'm really close to being the last airbender.
Yeah,
I mean, it's impossible to have all four.
I know. Yeah. I also, I mean, not the exact ones, but my top three are water, fire, and earth.
Yeah. What are your guys' signs?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, do you want to go?
Yeah, sure. I'm a Scorpio sun with a what's my moon?
Your Sag moon,
Sagittarius moon, and a Cancer rising.
Okay.
And then I'm a Pisces moon, or Pisces sun, Aries moon, and Capricorn rising.
Very nice.
So we're water folks over here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to get a thing started on the internet, like just referring to water signs as water gang, hashtag water gang. So it's going to catch on any day.
I believe it.
Thank you. That's very diplomatic. I appreciate that.
I'm trying to manipulate you.
Well, like, I think the other thing I associate with Libras, and I would have to, like, look this up to, like, have any sort of backing of this, but, like, to me it's, like, kind of the perfect, like, politician sign in that being diplomatic and, like, being able to, like, just know how to, like, appeal to people, like, on a personal level and like, find that, like, connection pretty quickly.
Wow.
So maybe that's in your future. Maybe...
I hope not.
How would you describe your decision-making? Because Libras are sometimes known to be indecisive.
I was going to say, what's a decision?
Yep. Okay.
I mean, I think I try and think things through pretty well in terms of, like, big life decisions. But, yeah, if you asked me, like, you know, before the pandemic where I wanted to go out to eat, couldn't tell you. Just don't care wherever you want to go. Or like, yeah, I don't know. I can be extremely indecisive, so that's fair.
Oh yeah, what's your, so I mean, assuming this might be a conversation you had with your girlfriend pre-pandemic, what's her sign? Or what's her birthday?
Taurus.
Taurus, okay.
I think it's April 21st.
So. Yeah, that's like right at the start of Taurus season.
Okay, yeah, Taurus.
She's so close to having a 420 birthday.
I know.
Yeah. Does she like weed?
She loves it though because it's right between, it's sandwiched between 420 and Earth Day, so she's all about it.
Oh, cool. That's tight. Nice. What was I get? I guess, yeah, just getting into like your Leo moon and Virgo rising, but I guess like, and this was something I wasn't even aware of before I, you know, started to get into astrology really, of just like the sun sign is like pretty much like your ego. It's like you're kind of a lot of like the core of like who you are. So that's usually why, you know, most people know what that is and how that's like become the, you know, stereotypical one. Yeah. But with the moon sign is supposed to represent like your emotional self, and like kind of like your subconscious to a degree, and you know, how you process and see things through like an emotional lens. And then your rising sign is supposed to be kind of, it can mean a couple different things, but I like to usually call it like the social mask. So it's like a lot of people that might not know you as well, especially like in like professional settings or just like people you're not as close with, it's kind of how you might come off like initially to people. They say sometimes like it can be less relevant as you get older because you become like more comfortable like being like your core self. So you know, your sun and moon become more, you know, your personality, and your rising can fade sometimes, but it just you know, it depends on the person. That's just some background there.
Cool. I need all of it that I can take.
Well, thank you for being open to this.
I'm just stoked to.
He's vibing.
Be invited. Yeah, I'm honored to be a guest on a podcast. So this is my first podcast.
Oh, is it really? Oh, yeah. I just assumed you know you were
You're doing great.
Yeah, I would have never guessed.
never been on a podcast.
Awesome.
But now I have, so I'm pretty stoked.
Popping his podcast cherry.
Yeah. It's popped.
Mazel tov.
Yeah. So with Leo being your moon sign, Leo is like, you know, the symbol is the lion. It's in the fire element group, and it's ruled by the sun. So, you know, it's interesting. This being, you know, in your, back to the moon being kind of like a subconscious way of, you know, who you are, the sun is like, usually it's the ego, you know, planet. So I think that's interesting that like you have that here. But yeah, I mean, one of the big things with Leos is like, they're just like natural performers, and they're just, you know, they love, sometimes that can be, you know, shifted to be like, oh, dramatic or performative, but but yeah, like just really passionate and like exuberant, just can kind of like a lot of people, especially this is a little bit more with sun signs for Leos, but like people usually feel drawn to Leos. Like there's just like a magnetism there. Maybe it gets back to the whole sun connection of like, you know, we all are just like drawn to the sun. Yeah. But I guess like with this being like kind of your emotional self, like some other characteristics, like being really strong, honest, generous person, warm-hearted, do you feel like in love, in emotional things, do you feel like that kind of fits you? Or
I would say I would hope. I think that's pretty spot on. I also apologize to anybody listening that they have to, they probably know everything there is to know about astrology and have to now listen to me get educated on
it. Oh yeah, don't worry about it. And like, even with us, like, you know, we know a moderate amount, but like we're not, you know, we're not professional astrologers.
Or I do think this is a great idea for a podcast though. I was like really stoked when you showed it to me because I was like, I'm pretty unique. I feel like that's kind of cool. People would definitely be down to listen to that.
Hell yeah. Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kudos on your idea. I gotta though give credit to this friendo right here. it was Amy's idea. And I was like,
well, that's a brilliant idea.
Oh, thank you.
That's very cool.
Yeah. I mean, we had talked about, you know, just wanting to do something with, you know, we became friends through another mutual friend, but through music, and like, we've been like concert buddies for like years. So
Nice.
We were like, especially when I started working at Stitcher, like, we should make a podcast about music, but it was just more about then, I think, for me, like, there's just so many of them now that just to have a regular chat show about it is like, it's just going to get lost in the, you know, yes, static.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, again, kudos, because this is, it's a cool, well, I'm also like just pumping myself. I'm pumping us up here, but whatever. Sorry, anyone listening.
No,
yeah. It's just finding that kind of, what's that little bit different angle or entry point to like kind of break through?
Oh yeah, because you can't escape astrology when you go on any social media pretty much.
No, so yeah,
I just thought the audience is there.
Yeah, it is certainly there.
You should work in audience development.
Oh God, sure.
Hey, no, you don't want to. Believe me.
All right, so we'll talk about Virgo rising.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Virgo rising. So again, yeah, your rising sign, kind of like a lot of the time how you come off to people. And with Virgo is the virgin is the symbol for it.
Oh,
there's like,
okay,
there's like a purity there. And it's a earth sign, and it is ruled by Mercury, which is the planet of the mind, communication, reason.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, Virgo's very intelligent sign, like really like practical and like analytical people. They're also though probably like the type A of the zodiac, which, you know, I think can be a good thing. You always need people that are like organized and like on top of shit. I'm certainly not that at all, but
I am not either. I would say,
I mean, it's not all, you know.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But, and like, but I kind of relate to this in a way, because another sign that's kind of similar to Virgo in that sense of like, just, you know, being really regimented and stuff is Capricorn. And that's my rising sign.
Okay.
And like I said, I don't really see myself that way, but I have talked to, especially like coworkers that are like, oh no, you like come off like you really like have your shit together and are like very like organized and like all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, I never like, it's just interesting. Like you can project things that you like,
that you don't feel.
You have no idea that you're doing. Yeah. So I would say, and even if you don't necessarily like relate as much to this one, this could be, you know, or it'd be a fun experiment, like to ask, you know, somebody,
well, I hope I relate to the intelligent part, but just not the organized part.
Yeah.
They're also gentle.
Yeah, right.
It's not all about,
right, exactly,
type A-ness. Right. Like, yeah, maybe a little more reserved.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Responsible, hardworking. It's, yeah, it's definitely a, it's a, an MVP, I would say, or one of them, in terms, wow, of the signs of just like, also maybe another way to look at it is like one of the adult signs, like adult, you need that adult in the room.
My dad's a Virgo.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
and he's definitely that, so
yeah. Cool.
Nice.
All right, well, I think we should get into the artist that you chose. So
sweet.
First up here, Mr. Tom Waits.
Yeah, absolute legend.
Yeah, so like, first off, just tell us a little bit about like just your connection to him in general. Like, when did you, have you been listening to him for a while, or?
Yeah. So, well, I think it was freshman year of high school. Might have been even in middle school, but no. So junior year of high school, a friend and I were driving around like really late at night, like blasting music and just, you know, hanging out. And he puts on this incredibly weird song. And I was just like, what is this? Like, this is it's this man growling in German. Like, I don't know what is going on right now. And he's like, you've never heard Tom Waits? And I'm like, no, this is, but it immediately was like one of those weird things that just grabs you and you're like, whoa, this is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I find this so cool, but it's cool. And he was like, oh my God, dude. And he had all of Tom Waits on his iPod, like his whole
discography.
Yeah, exactly. And so we just like started going through it, and he started playing me the weird stuff first, because Tom Waits like evolves very much from like being, you know, a kind of this crooner like piano ballad guy,
yeah,
into this like,
yeah,
weird abstract stuff. And I got shown the latter stuff first, and I fell in love. I was just like, no one is doing this. This is so cool.
Yeah.
Like, And I think I also love that he used his voice as an instrument too. Like, he just, like, plenty of songs that the drum track is just him, like, almost beatboxing with his, like, gravelly voice. And I just never had, like, seen that range of creativity before. Like, you know, Old 55 is, like, you know, covered by the Eagles, and, like, just this beautiful ballad, and, like, and then you get, like, Army Ants, which is just a spoken word piece about, like, weird insects, and, like, it's, yeah, there's just, I think he has been such a huge inspiration just songwriting wise, because, like, has never, like, ceased to do something different and, like, changed, and he's, yeah, just a crazy chameleon.
Yeah, yeah, it's super versatile. That friend that you were saying that introduced you to him, it wasn't Mick, was it?
It was
okay. Mick. No, because that's how it took me longer to come back around to it, but that's who had originally showed it to me. Whether I don't think even if he remembers that, but it was more of just like he was talking about him, and I was like, I don't know who that is. So then I looked it up, and I was like, it's really
Tom
weird
Waits,
and cool stuff. Yeah.
He's just spreading the gospel of Tom Waits. Yeah.
We got to get him on here. No. I made a dumb joke before we started recording that to me, I went back and was just like listening to some Tom Waits like before this. And I was like, he's kind of like if Bob Dylan could actually sing.
Yeah, kind of. His earlier stuff.
And his voice is like, to your point, like its own instrument that's like incredible.
And it's just like some of the, I think the cool part is like he's so haunting, like some of his early like just piano ballads, like that he's just singing in a normal voice, but like the melody is just so sad, and he like it's executed so perfectly that I'm like, damn, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. And then you like switch the track on like on shuffle, and it's just like growling in your face. How is this the same guy?
I have to wonder if somebody like Reggie Watts was like influenced by him at all. Do you know Reggie?
I do. Yeah, I could see that.
Just just kind of weirdness and like trying to just do different things with your voice and like just create like moods and stuff.
I cannot talk enough about Tom Waits. I love that man.
Well, Tom Waits's sun sign is Sagittarius.
Okay.
And wait, so he's a Cancer moon as, and a Sagittarius rising. So he has two Sagittarius placements in his top three.
You're like, wow, tell me more.
What does that mean? Well, for me, I always think that the Cancer often lends itself to people who have a strong voice in music. Like that's always something that like, I usually draw that connection when I see that people have a Cancer in their top three.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's what it is. But then again, Sagittarius is a fiery sign.
Yeah, I think that's definitely where the just kind of weirdness and like just he just has obviously a huge personality. Mm-hmm. Sagittarius is like probably the most like well-liked sign. Like they're just like just kind of are just really warm, generous, like
extroverts.
Yeah. So like if you have friends that are Sages, they're probably like the popular one in the friend group.
Nice.
They bring people together.
Yeah. on the you know, downside, they can also be, you know, seen as like irresponsible or like non-committal to things. But I think like his it's funny that you were saying like some of his earlier stuff is so like sad sounding though, because again, the sign is usually not that, you know, all signs can be happy and sad or whatever emotion,
but
that this one generally is like people that have this just big spirit. So maybe, I guess
the emotional Cancer moon.
That's true. Yeah. And I guess though I find joy sometimes in like really sad music, like I being able to like relate back to, somebody capturing that is really, there is like a big spiritedness to that, to me at least. So
for sure.
Yeah. I guess that this definitely makes sense in terms of his placements. And I think especially the being double Sag though, that's, I think, interesting with it being his rising and sun sign. That's also, a thing where it's like how we were saying before, you might not realize how you're coming off to other people when you see yourself like a different way. With him, maybe though, if we were to talk to him, he would, or like, I don't know if he's fucking into astrology, maybe not, but where it's like you probably come off, he comes off to people the way that he probably sees himself.
Yeah.
Which is just like,
I feel like he'd be like, I named a car astrology once. Just like some rant.
Yeah.
And how does it relate to Libras?
Well, yeah, let's, yeah, exactly. That's what we're here to do. We're here to,
This one's a little bit of a...
Yeah, because that is a little bit of a, well, I guess...
Did I stump
you
guys?
Well, he has a Leo moon. I guess it's fire.
Well, I think that's true. But when I was saying earlier about Libras being able to, like, connect with people and be, you know, really diplomatic and social, I think there's that connection is right there with Sagittarius also being so, like, you know, well-liked and mm-hmm. also a social sign.
I think so,
yeah. So that relatability, I guess, to people. And you're both, you know, both being musicians, both being artists. These are both, you know, I guess Sagittarius isn't as obvious as like a artistic sign, but I think one of the other things that maybe they're lesser known for, but I, you know, have seen before is like Sagittarius being like, you know, great like teacher, great like storyteller. And like, that's definitely, you know, such a thing with his music is like some of the, you know, stuff, some of the stories and things like that, that he's doing with the songwriting is really incredible.
Yeah. Master storyteller for sure.
But yeah, I think Amy, you're right that there's probably, and you know, with music, we're usually connected to it through our emotions. So with you being a Leo moon and him being, even it's though it's his sun sign, maybe being just drawn to that fire and that passion emotionally. I mean, do you feel like, even though some of it's just funny and just like interesting, do you like connect with his music on like an emotional level? I guess you were saying that with some of the early stuff that's more like ballad.
Yeah, but even I feel like even the weird stuff I like very much connect to an emotional level. Like it's just so, even though it's really kind of abstract and strange and out there, like there's just something about the way he does it and like how it's presented that is very, I don't know the right words for it, but yeah, I do. I would say connect to all of it on an emotional level.
You gotta listen to some weird Tom Waits.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking about.
It'll change your life.
Yeah.
It'll change your life.
Is there like an album or a collection or something that you would recommend from him?
Yeah. Blood Money is like, so I've only heard this through the grapevine. I haven't really looked it up, so I don't know if this is true. I'm pretty sure it is, though. But, like, he released, like, two albums on the same day, I think. It was Alice and Blood Money, and they were recorded kind of as soundtracks and musical tracks to theater pieces.
Oh.
And, or, I guess they would be musicals. I don't know. But he recorded them and then released them both as albums. And those are good because it's not like, I mean, there is some, well, yeah, I guess there's a bunch of weird stuff in there. Yeah, I would say Alice and Blood Money are both
okay. Really
solid ones. And I think some of my favorite Tom Waits songs are on. He released like three albums at the same time called Ballers, Brawlers, and Bastards or something like that. Something of the nature.
That's a great
and
name.
They're all old songs or like previously recorded songs that didn't make albums or something like that.
Got
and
it.
There's just amazing material in there, like such good, and there's a lot of cool like spoken word stuff that he has like this one song called Pontiac where it's just like this all full, or I don't know if it's Foley sound, they might be driving around, but it's like him driving around with someone explaining like the history of the family's history of cars that they had, and it's just like it's so real sounding, like it sounds like someone's like, you know, crazy uncle just talking about cars, and it's so well done. It's amazing. And yeah, for some reason that like got me, like, I was like, wow, this is brilliant. Like, this is just a perfect, like, he captured Americana in like 2 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
So I have many favorites, but I would say those, five albums.
Well,
all of it.
We will, as we like to do, we will link out to anything that we talk about in terms of music. So
sweet.
Check those show notes. I think that feels like we got into him a good amount. Yeah. How about now, Mr. Matty Healy of the 1975?
Yes.
I adore
that band.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that love for them.
I was talking about how I listen to music and just attach myself to an album until I wear it out.
Yeah, and I did the same.
2020 had like a lot of good music released, and I attached myself to that album and did not stop listening like every
What's
time
the name
I got
of the
in
album?
The car. I think it's Notes in a Conditional Form or something like that.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's that one. Yeah.
And oh man. Yeah. I wore that sucker out. I don't know if you can wear things out by streaming, but it's like,
yeah,
just nonstop. 'Cause they just have such like a great brand of pop music.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
It's very witty and artistic and like
it's like
incredibly thought driven, and it's just like I think also because like as a music writer I try to do that a lot and I fail all the time. Like it's so hard to like make a thought driven song like work.
Like
because it has to be emotional. It's music, to some level.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I respect that a lot about him too, as a songwriter. I associate them with, like college for me because, right as that last semester in 2014 was when I think the album had maybe come out in October before that, but like their first, like the self-titled, that was like all I was listening to like the last like 4 or 5 months of college. Yeah. That's like, I have a really like warm memory about, and that's albums. I mean, a lot of their albums are long, but that one, like maybe it was the like re-release or something that had like, it was like 20 tracks. 'Cause they took some of the EPs that they had released prior to that and then like just tacked them onto the end of the regular album. Yeah. So it was like 24 songs or something crazy like that. But yeah. And I've just, since that first album, I've basically been a fan ever since. And like, they've only even gotten better too, I feel like.
That's the cool part. Impressive. Yeah, it's just like you just listen to every album and you're just like, this just keeps getting better. Like they're so good.
Yeah, so the output there is like crazy. Like just in terms of the work ethic, it's like,
and it's funny too because like when I moved to LA to like try music for the first time or whatever, like I had people like pretty just like, dude, where is your music? Like you've been here for like X amount of time, but I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I'm slow. I'm really a slow music writer. And I think that would change if I did it full time, but bit of a perfectionist. And yeah, the amount of just like creative output from them is stupid.
Well, to that perfectionist point, maybe that's a little bit of your Virgo rising coming out.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
Funny you should say.
Yeah. do you listen at all?
I do not. 1975.
Oh, so it's a more of a like you.
No, I just like. It's not like I'm against it. Just something.
Yeah.
I know that Charlie XCX is going to work with Matty Healy, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
like an upcoming thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
So maybe that'll get me to listen to them. But yeah. I don't know. It hasn't been a priority for me.
Sure. Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, definitely.
Very fair.
Looking at his astrology, though, he is an Aries sun, I believe. Yes, that's what the internet says. No, he is. I think with we were just saying about the work ethic and the output and just this, like, even his delivery a lot of times in songs is just very fiery. It's very, I mean, Aries is kind of, I think, the, like, epitome of the fire signs, like, of just being, like, now that can come out as, like, being aggressive and being, like, you know, kind of scary in a sense sometimes, but having a temper. But there's this huge amount of passion there. There's this huge, like, just that fire is always burning, so he's just wants to just keep pumping out new music, be, you know, it's some of it, especially like lyrics wise, like you were saying, that there's some of the songs that can get pretty like message heavy, but like are still like wrapped in that nice like pop gleam and glitter.
Yeah.
And that I love that combination in any like setting for music where
that's so hard to execute. I mean, at least for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, but yeah, I love, he can be like pretty bombastic and just like super honest, and it's like kind of surprising.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wow, like this is,
yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised by the Aries placement there. Like, that makes a ton of sense to me.
I saw two Taurus placements there.
Yes. Yes. So then his other two are both Taurus, both his moon and rising.
It's funny because we earlier talked with my friend Ivy, and she's a musician. She's an Aries moon and a Taurus rising. And a Taurus. Mm. No, she's an Aries sun and a Taurus moon as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. And she was talking about being prolific as well. Like,
yeah, yeah,
always
right.
Making music. So.
She was saying that, yeah. Huh. I guess that's a thing.
I guess so.
I wish Myers Moon like would help me be more prolific there. Like, I was showing somebody like my fucking SoundCloud that I have three songs on, but like the other day, and they were like, oh, this is like from like 2013, like damn, like where's like the new stuff? And I was like, oh,
wow, okay,
yeah, I don't know, like
I mean, you know, you shouldn't listen to other people's expectations.
No, I know, yeah. I know. And like, it's, I guess, you know, some people would say like, oh, you just need to do it every day, and then like it just becomes like a muscle memory thing. But like, for me, it's always been like that stupid thing of like, the essence of the genius has to visit me in the night, and I have
That's
to
like
feel,
a Pisces thing.
You know, struck by that inspiration.
That's
and then,
definitely
yeah,
a Pisces.
Then I get up and do it. But like, otherwise I'm like, no, it's not come to me. So,
yeah, I've heard a lot of people describe it as like, you put yourself in place for it to come to you. So like, I am very much the same, that I'm like, I find it really hard to write music unless I'm like struck with something. But people have told me that, like, you know, if you do try it every day, it's not the fact that like you're going to make something great,
right,
like even remotely,
yeah,
a lot,
yeah,
but like you're putting yourself in the position to be struck by it more often than not. So I was like, yeah, that's a good way to look at it, I guess.
With the 1975, back to Matt here, I love how they incorporate like electronic into, you know, the quote unquote real instruments.
Yeah.
Do you feel like,
yeah,
they've like influenced Herner at all?
Yeah, they probably have, just like the way, I think they're really good at making drum loops, like certain
mm-hmm,
drum
mm-hmm.
loops like really work a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of like, I feel like they almost like carve out a world around those drum loops on those like kind of like drum and bass style tracks. That's not like, you know, their regular power pop stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that has had a lot of influence, and just on the like odd sounds that they put in and whatnot.
Yeah.
Maybe not like, yeah, some of the chord progressions are great,
yeah,
and like definitely have inspired me on some stuff. And
a lot of their synths I love
actually
too.
Yeah. I will say, I actually totally forgot about this. So on one of my new songs, I was really pumped about like this vocal processing thing I have going on in the background,
mm-hmm,
and that was directly inspired by the 1975.
Oh, nice.
Now that you asked.
Oh, cool,
yeah,
cool.
I was just listening to I don't think it sounds like anything directly, but yeah, I was listening to the album one day, and then I was just like, you know what, it'd be really, that and Sylvanesso. It was inspired by 1975 and Sylvanesso. But
nice. Yeah, I love them too, Sylvan. Cool.
They're pretty great.
Yeah.
She's also very nice, Amelia. I stayed around at a show in the Paradise in Boston when they opened up for Volcano Choir, and she was a very, very nice human.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
Another, someone not failing. That's good. Anything else with Maddie here? I mean, what do you think? Do you feel like we fleshed him out?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we didn't really talk about like what Taurus is too much, but
we can touch on that, you know, briefly, I guess. So Taurus, here, you know what? This is a cool thing. Taurus is also ruled by Venus, and so I think that
Libra.
Yeah, so you know, you being Libra, I think that connection you're drawn there, especially because of that. Yeah. The again, back to like this appreciation for like aesthetics. And I think like as a band, they do such a good job at like, this is lame to say, but at like branding and like just a lot of like all of their music videos. Yeah. They stopped doing this, but I loved that like all of their music videos for that first album were all in black and white.
Yeah, no, they killed the aesthetics game. Like the brand, like their brand is very well defined in a like a very good way too. Yeah,
yeah. So that's big Taurus energy, I would say. And like, you know, they're super dependable. They're kind of like the workhorses of the Zodiac too. So again, back to his just output and his ability to just like, you know, crank these songs out, put 20 songs on an album, like, yeah, that's very Taurus. Yeah. As well, that combined with the Aries. Yeah. Is like, it's pretty good combo.
Not an easy feat.
No. And then, but you know, yes, hardworking, but then also maybe one of the downsides sometimes is being like stubborn. And I do know that like sometimes in like the media, especially, he's had like a couple of things where like he said something offhandedly and people are like, come on, man. And he's like, no, I'm not going to back down. Like, that's what I said. Yeah. Like, sorry, yeah, I pissed you off. But like, yeah, that's just kind of a fuck sometimes, which I like that about him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's like, it's kind of a fuckboy energy, but like, it's like, I don't know. I think he's a pretty funny guy. Like, just I've listened to interviews with him and stuff, and he just like is super funny, I think.
Yeah, he is. There's something to be said about someone who's just like unabashedly themselves, yeah, you know, and just like, yeah, even still in the spotlight can just be like, you know what? Yeah, no, I'm a human being. This is what I said. This is like, and I stand by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of people, you know, keeping up with you, especially on the music front, like, where would you want to send people, like your website or follow you on social media, or like, what are your...
Yeah, Instagram's the page. I don't, like, I've been bad at it, updating it now, but that's like, I feel like my main communicator. Okay. So yeah,
okay.
Instagram. And just
what's your handle?
It's Heroner _ music. So like Heron, mm-hmm, with an ER _ music.
Oh, so we usually end the podcast by playing a song that you can choose of your own music.
Assume. Is there one you would, you know, want to have us play? I mean, we won't play it literally right now, but we'll do it in post. Yeah. We'll do it in post.
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it in post. Probably. That's a toughie. I guess Salt would be okay. off the EP. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. I mean, they're all good, but.
Oh, thank you.
Cool. And is there anything like you just want to say briefly to like, I guess, just set it up, or like if it's about something in particular? Or I also understand if you don't like to over explain the stuff. Some artists are like, it speaks for itself.
Yeah. I'm kind of that camp where like, I don't,
that's okay.
I'm not like, oh, it speaks for itself, but like, you know, it just kind of, it is what it is, and you can take what you can take from it. Like, you know, and that's, everyone asks me, it's like, oh, what's it about? I'm just like, well, I'll show you the lyrics. I'm not going to like tell you much more than that. Like, that's
got you. Yeah. No, I like that. I respect that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, here's, Salt by Heroner. And, thank you, Tanner, for coming on. This was awesome.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
And thank you, Amy, for humoring us with our broing out about, Phoebe and Maddie Healy.
Anytime.
Should have picked Earl, man.
Soon.